Today's text comes from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And when falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We are exploring the mission of the church and the role of our saints as witnesses of Jesus. Today, we will examine our calling through the story of the martyrdom of Deacon Stephen. The book of Acts provides a detailed account from chapter 6, verse 8 to chapter 7, verse 60, regarding Stephen's ministry and martyrdom. But why does the book of Acts focus on Stephen in such depth? Is it merely to highlight that he was an exemplary deacon who lived as a witness for Jesus? Rather, it is because Stephen embodied the church at that time, demonstrating what it means to live as a witness for Jesus. His ministry and martyrdom marked a significant turning point in church history. As we analyze the narrative in the book of Acts, we can see that Stephen's martyrdom ushered in a new stage for the church. Through Stephen, God poured out amazing blessings upon the church, prompting it to advance in its mission as witnesses of Jesus. Stephen was the church's first martyr after Jesus' death. Not long after he was appointed as a deacon, he was stoned to death while testifying about Jesus. If we look at this from Stephen's personal life alone, it seems like a truly meaningless death and an event that we cannot fully understand. Jesus said, "God's people will receive power when the Holy Spirit is poured out." What kind of power do we see here? Just as Abel was helplessly killed by Cain in vain, Stephen also seemed to be killed by his brothers, the Jews, helplessly in vain. However, God's amazing will is fulfilled here. There is no death in vain for a saint. God said that he treasures the death of a saint and that those who die in the Lord are blessed. And here, the power of the Holy Spirit is revealed. How was the power of the Holy Spirit revealed? With Stephen's death, the entire church, which was united with Stephen in Christ, went on a path of even more suffering and persecution. What kind of power do you see here? If we look at the overall flow of the Acts of the Apostles, we can see that the history of the early church was always centered around suffering and persecution. Moreover, this suffering and persecution gradually increased. In Acts 4, Peter and John were first arrested by the Sanhedrin, but were released after being threatened. Then in chapter 5, all the apostles were arrested by the Sanhedrin, whipped, and released. Now Deacon Stephen was stoned to death while testifying about Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin. And from then on, even greater tribulation and persecution came upon the entire church and the saints, and all those who believed in Jesus would be put to death. But was this the reality of a curse or judgment that God brought upon the church? No, it was the reality of God's amazing blessing. As a result, the church became more like Jesus, participated more in Jesus' suffering, and was firmly established as a witness of Jesus, kept and testified to the gospel of truth and revealed Jesus' glory. This was the first blessing God gave to the church through the martyrdom of Stephen. And this was the power given to the church and the saints by the Holy Spirit. It was to follow the path Jesus walked and bear witness to Jesus. In church history, the lives of the witnesses of Jesus who received the power of the Holy Spirit were revealed this way. The path that the OPC we belong to took was like this. The path that our Theophilus Presbyterian Church and many saints have walked was like this. And the path that we must take in the future is like this. We are called to witness Christ in suffering and persecution until we die. Also, there is a second significance to the ministry and martyrdom of Stephen in church history. After the death of Stephen, the saints in Jerusalem were scattered to Samaria and all of Judea due to the great tribulation and persecution that came upon the entire church. And in the places where they were scattered, they testified to the gospel and preached Jesus. This is how the mission of the Great Commission that the Lord gave was accomplished. Acts chapter 8 verses 1 through 6. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entered house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. The church is entering a new phase of Jesus' Great Commission. Acts chapter 1 verse 18 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, after the great tribulation and persecution that began after the martyrdom of Stephen, the saints who were scattered from Jerusalem began to testify about Jesus throughout Judea and Samaria. Stephen's martyrdom was the starting point for this. Here, we can clearly see that Stephen's death was not in vain. Through the tribulation and persecution of one saint to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the entire church was established as a witness of Jesus, and the kingdom of God was further expanded, and Jesus' great commission was fulfilled. This was the second blessing that God gave to the church through the death of Stephen. Finally, the third and most important aspect of the martyrdom of Stephen in church history is related to the man behind the death of Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, verse 58, Stephen was thrown out of the city and stoned. The witnesses lay down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. The person behind Stephen's death and the continued persecution of the church was Saul. Who is this Saul? He is Paul, who later converted and was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. As a result of Stephen's martyrdom, Jesus changed Saul to Paul and established him as an apostle to the Gentiles who would testify about Jesus to the ends of the earth. When we look at the book of Acts, what is the last part about? The apostle Paul testifies to the gospel in Rome. In other words, through the apostle Paul's ministry, the gospel was testified in Rome, which could be called the ends of the earth at that time. And Jesus' great commission in Acts 1:8 was finally fulfilled. From then on, Jesus' will to become his witness to the ends of the earth continues to be fulfilled until he comes again at any time. All of these things had begun through the testimony and martyrdom of Stephen. The amazing grace and blessing hidden in it can only be seen through faith. Otherwise, Stephen's death would only seem like a truly miserable and vain death. However, through the shedding of the blood of a martyr who seemed powerless in the world, amazing blessings are poured into the kingdom of God. Amazing blessings come to the church when the believing saints keep their faith to the end, testify to Jesus, and die. We must also remember this. The church went into even greater tribulation. Stephen's suffering expanded into the suffering of the entire church. However, the amazing thing is that when even greater suffering and persecution came, Jesus made all the saints' faith more pure and testified to the gospel through them, expanded the kingdom of God, and established the church and the saints more firmly on the gospel. Some temptations and trials tried to destroy the church before today's passage. There was the incident where Ananias and Sapphira, who were false saints, were eventually excommunicated through death, and there was also a dispute that broke the unity of the Hellenistic and Jewish Christians. However, through the grace of God, Jesus' mission was fulfilled amidst such growing trials and persecutions, and the church grew in unity. This is Jesus' ministry, and this is how Jesus rules his church in heaven. Through various trials and hardships, he refines the faith of the church and the saints, establishes them as his witnesses, and expands the heavenly kingdom. The same goes for our church. Through the trials and hardships and persecutions that come inside and outside the lives of the church and the saints, Jesus strengthens the entire church and the saints, allows us to testify to him more, and firmly establishes the kingdom of God. This is his great grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. It does not end with the life of Stephen as an individual, but an amazing blessing comes to the life of the whole church where Stephen is united. We must remember that the lives of each saint are connected to the entire church. God allows us to follow the path Jesus took and testify to Jesus altogether. We can see this blessed reality more clearly through Stephen's life. If we connect chapters 6 and 7, it says that when Stephen was full of faith, the Holy Spirit, wisdom, grace, and power, and boldly testify the gospel, people came to him to offend him with their false teachings, but they could not stand up to him. Who does this resemble? It is our Jesus. When Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, grace, and power, and testified to the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, people came to offend him with their false teachings, but they could not stand up to him. The lies of the world and the opinions of sinners cannot overcome the truth of gospel and the wisdom of God. Stephen was also brought before the Sanhedrin and tried like Jesus, and he was also falsely accused by false witnesses. In chapter 6, verse 11, we see that Stephen was falsely accused of blaspheming Moses and God, and in verse 13, he was falsely accused of speaking against the holy place, that is, the temple and the law. This is the same content of the false accusations that Jesus was accused of, as we have seen in the Gospel of Mark. Also, Stephen's face shone like an angel, just like Jesus. In the event of the transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, Jesus, who was with Moses and Elijah, was transformed into a radiance that shone like an angel. That radiance was a radiance of the glory of God. Previously, Moses had met God on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and his face shone with a radiance that reflected the glory of God. Stephen's face also shone with a radiance that reflected the glory of Jesus and resembled him. When we fellowship with Jesus in the Word, become like Him, and live a life that testifies to Him, we also shine with a radiance that spiritually reflects the glory of Jesus. That's not all. Just as Jesus was led by the crowd to Golgotha outside the city gate and crucified, Stephen was also led by the crowd outside the city gate and stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, verse 57. And just as Jesus died in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, praying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Stephen also died in Acts 7, 59, praying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And just as Jesus prayed for the sinners who crucified him on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and forgave them, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know their sins," Stephen also prayed for those who were trying to kill him in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, saying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And God heard his prayer and forgave Saul, who was behind Stephen's death, and changed him to the Apostle Paul. Just as Jesus went to the throne of God in heaven when he died, Stephen also saw heaven open for him in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, and Jesus waiting for him there, and he eventually entered heaven through death and was held in Jesus' arms. We too live with forgiveness in our hearts, looking forward to entering heaven and being held in the arms of the Lord. Aren't these appearances such amazing grace? Dear saints, let me ask you again, what kind of thoughts and feelings do you have when you see Stephen's death? Do you still feel sorry for him? Do you still think that Stephen's death was meaningless? Do you think that it was a life far away from you and not very relevant? Or do you think that it was a life that was so glorious and blessed that you wanted to be like him? I hope we will look at our calling and the greatest blessing we enjoy through Stephen. I hope you will discover what the greatest blessing and glory that each of our saints and Theophilus Presbyterian Church should enjoy and have been given to us. Only by grace, God raises us, sinners without hope, to live a life that testifies to Jesus. This is the greatest blessing and glory that our church and saints have been given to enjoy. This is the blessing and glory of Christianity. This is where we are distinguished from this world. The mission as witnesses that Jesus gives us is an amazing blessing and glory. Then shouldn't the blessings and glory we seek be here? My fellow saints, what are we seeking and living as saints who believe in Jesus, as citizens of heaven, and as the Church of Christ? What are the blessings and glory of God that we are hoping for and seeking now? Are we still looking only at ourselves in the reality of the world, and wrestling with our worldly problems for the benefit of this world? Are we praying that we may enjoy Jesus, testify, and proclaim Him in any reality? Please remember the words that Jesus gave regarding the calling of the heavenly people. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He says that there is a thing we must seek first. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is where we are distinguished from the Gentiles, that is, the sinners of the world. The life that Stephen enjoyed and testified to by faith was Jesus, the righteousness of God, and the eternal kingdom of God that Jesus established, heaven. Stephen worshiped God to the end, seeking Jesus and heaven. I hope that God will lead us to this blessed life. I hope that our church and the saints will live more by faith. I know about it, but my life in this world is too hard and busy, and I have no time or space, so I cannot live like that. However, we must realize this. It is not because life in this world is too busy and difficult, or because we have no time or space. Jesus is not telling us just to work hard or give more. He is asking where the center of our hearts is. Even if life is too hard and busy, and even if we have nothing, He is telling us where we should place the center of our hearts and the priorities of our lives, because all of our lives come from that center. Is it Jesus or something else? He emphasizes that there is something we must prioritize above all else. We are instructed to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This distinction sets us apart from the Gentiles or sinners of the world. The life that Stephen embraced and testified to through his faith was rooted in Jesus, the righteousness of God, and the eternal kingdom that Jesus established, heaven. Stephen worshiped God until the end, consistently seeking Jesus and the promise of heaven. I hope that God will guide us toward this blessed life. I desire for our church and the believers to live more fully by faith. While I understand this concept, I find that life in this world can be overwhelming and hectic, leaving me little time or space to live out this principle. However, we must recognize that our challenges do not excuse us. Jesus does not simply call us to work harder or contribute more. He is asking us to consider the center of our hearts. Even amidst a busy and difficult life, and even when we feel we have nothing, He is guiding us to focus on where we should anchor our hearts and the priorities of our lives. All aspects of our lives flow from that central point. So we must ask ourselves, is our focus on Jesus, or is it directed elsewhere? Did Stephen testify about Jesus until his death because he had little to do in this world, plenty of time, or because he was overwhelmed by worldly concerns? No, he was not a fool. God revealed the true nature of Stephen's heart through his suffering and persecution. What was at the center of his heart? This is unveiled in Stephen's testimony. Above all, he understood the true gospel. This understanding compelled him to speak about it passionately. Moreover, he was deeply aware of the boundless love and grace of Jesus, who gave his precious life for him. Stephen had no regrets about testifying for the Lord, living for Him, and ultimately giving his life for Him. For him, it was the most precious and joyful experience of all. Although it was all by God's grace, Stephen was filled with happiness and gratitude for Jesus and the salvation He offered. Nothing else took precedence in his life. Jesus was his greatest desire, which is why he felt driven to proclaim Jesus and his gospel. Stephen had a strong hope that Jesus was preparing an eternal place in heaven specifically for him and was waiting for his arrival. Because of this, he understood that even if he suffered and died for Jesus in this world, it would not be a loss, but rather a gain. He recognized that even if he lost everything in his life, including his own life, he would gain eternal life in heaven, where he belonged to Christ forever. He was confident that when he fell asleep in death, he would awaken in heaven and first meet the Lord he loved, being held in his arms. Thus, even at the moment he was being stoned to death, he did not despair. Instead, he boldly looked to heaven and to Jesus, prioritizing the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As Christians, we are not foolish. The martyrs never view their lives as trivial. They willingly gave up their lives on earth for the sake of Jesus because they understood that possessing Jesus and the promise of heaven was far more precious and valuable than anything this world could offer. This does not imply that we should neglect worldly matters or abandon everything forcibly. Rather, it means we must be clear about where the center of our heart should lie. Stephen did not focus on his dire situation or feel sorry for himself. He did not pay attention to those surrounding him who were throwing stones, nor did he fear them. Instead, he lifted his eyes in faith and looked up to heaven. What did he see there? Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, saw the heavens open before him, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God's throne. This is the faith that empowers Stephen to testify boldly through the Holy Spirit. Just like Stephen, we also possess this same faith. Therefore, we must constantly look upward. The gates of heaven are open to us, and the Lord is with us, shining his face full of love and forgiveness. He eagerly awaits us as we strive to fight the good fight of faith and enter into heaven. This reality of the gospel enables us to overcome all challenges and to boldly testify about Jesus. However, there is something curious about Jesus' appearance in heaven that Stephen witnessed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 says that God has seated Jesus at his right hand. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 and chapter 8, verse 2 affirm that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Yet when Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Why do we see Jesus standing instead of sitting? We can see two realities. First, this scene can be seen as showing the reality of the heavenly court in contrast to the Jewish Sanhedrin court where Stephen was standing at the time. Stephen is looking at a greater trial being held in heaven than the Jewish Sanhedrin where he is being tried. God is sitting on the throne as the judge, and Jesus is standing at his right hand and speaking for Stephen. When sinners falsely accuse him, Stephen testifies to the end about Jesus, and Jesus himself stands at the right hand of God's throne and testifies for Stephen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus speaks for Stephen through his blood and righteousness. Stephen, as a beloved child of God, received forgiveness for all his sins through Jesus' sacrifice and was justified by grace alone through Jesus' righteousness. This illustrates that even if the world makes false judgments, God's righteous judgment will prevail in heaven. Jesus standing there signifies more than just his readiness to judge. It symbolizes his action of opening the gates of heaven for Stephen and waiting to welcome him. Just as a father waits for his cherished child or a groom awaits his beloved bride, Jesus rose from his throne to receive Stephen, the saint whom he loved so deeply that he gave his life for him. As Stephen looked upon the Lord, the first to welcome him into heaven, he perceived this reality through faith. One can only imagine how he felt knowing that after the death, he would open his eyes to see his Savior, who was eagerly awaiting him. While Stephen was being stoned and experiencing great pain, he felt a profound happiness. He was filled with joy at the thought of being received by the Lord. He was overwhelmed with joy as he beheld a heavenly glory that was revealed when the gates of heaven opened. He rejoiced at the eternal fellowship of love he would share with the Lord, face to face. In this way, he overcame all challenges and ultimately entered the blessed glory of heaven through death. Saints, this reality is not one that only Stephen experienced. It reminds us that God has bestowed upon us the same grace, blessing, and glory. Jesus wants us to understand this truth today. He invites us to look forward to our hope by faith. Jesus himself has opened the gates of heaven and is standing by, ready to welcome us. Even now, the Lord, who loves each of us as his own, is seated on the throne with a deep longing to receive us. Just as a father awaits his cherished children and a bridegroom anticipates his beloved bride, he continues to intercede for us with his blood and righteousness. We are happy even in the face of hardships. We find joy when we are sick, even when we have a little time left to live. With this joy, we live as witnesses of the Lord, fulfilling the mission he has given us until the day he returns. Therefore, dear saints, let us joyfully testify about our beloved Jesus. Please continue to share your testimony of Jesus until the end of our lives. Embrace happiness in suffering while proclaiming his name, as from this place we draw strength from above. Even if we face humiliation, decline, ridicule from others, or suffer unjustly, our happiness comes from the fact that Jesus is glorified and exalted. Like Jesus and Stephen, we must forgive with his love as we journey towards our heavenly home. Are you surrounded by darkness, unable to see any hope? Do you feel as if you are walking through a valley of death? Does it seem like joy and hope are slipping away from your life? Lift your eyes in faith and look up to heaven. I hope you can see the heavens and discover Jesus, who loves each one of you. I pray that you will find strength to follow the path that Jesus took. Let us all joyfully and diligently testify only to Jesus, forgive those who are indebted to us, and worship God until our very last breath.